Welcome back, Mike Warren Thomas here. It's For Love of Food, and one of our listeners sent me a note about a restaurant in Honeoye, not Honeoye Falls, but Honeoye, and it's the Mill Creek Cafe, so we've got to get down there and try it. They have a nice website, surprisingly, millcreekcafe.com. The website is not surprising, it makes sense, and the they're open on basically Wednesday through Saturday. On Fridays and Saturdays, open at noon. Otherwise, 4 p.m. And Saturdays, it's only noon to 4. So, Mill Creek Cafe, check it out. Some nice photos on their website. And again, our listener reminded me that it's not in Honeoye Falls, but Honeoye, so which is a much smaller community, and you should check it out. So, and if you have a favorite place or are reminded of some really good food or service, send me a note, michael@saferlife.com. And as we hear about other states that are shutting down bars, they are limiting restaurants to only 50% capacity, whereas they just allowed them, I guess, to be generally open in some of these other states. These other states are moving backwards in terms of reopening. And for us to continue reopening and keep it this way, we need to wear masks. We need to practice social distancing. And if you don't see people doing that, you might want to avoid those areas. Or go back another time when they're not busy. And limit the risks of exposure. So be aware. And again, this is about keeping our economy back in recovery and trying to avoid the whiplash effect of going back to shutdown, which is possible. You know, if we're not careful, if we're not using masks, it is likely that will go backwards at some point. But we know how to do this. I said the last hour in the gardening show, science has shown, other countries have shown, we know how to keep this virus at bay until we get a vaccine. But it is going to require wearing masks and practicing social distancing for the time being. And really, compared to complete shutdown where you where businesses just aren't open, this is, at least to me, much more preferable. To, you know, if we can get back to a quote-unquote normal but wearing masks and keeping some social distancing, that sounds pretty good at this point as you look around the rest of the country. So, and restaurants in particular have been hit so hard. They were, you know, late in the phases of reopening. They've been struggling with offering just takeout. Right now, they can only operate at 50% capacity, which is, there very few, if any, restaurants can make money at 50% capacity. So we need to keep going in the right direction, and that means wearing a mask. And today, there's the Newbury and Friends Farmers Market at Newbury Park Pastries, and Robin Bishoping usually has masks for sale that she's made, cloth masks that she's sewed, and they are cool colors, really neat options, maybe $10 a piece, something like that, and you'll be set. You know, maybe you get two, so you have a backup, but if you want something that looks kind of cool, that would be the place to get it today. And Kate Schlenker from Newbury Park Pastries posted that she has some banana cream pie, which is seldom made the traditional way, and that's with real bananas. And I've made the mistake of ordering it at a diner, and I was traveling somewhere in Pennsylvania, I think, or I've tried it a couple times without asking if they have real bananas in it. And you know, they just use, I think, like banana flavoring, and they probably buy the banana cream flavoring or banana cream all ready to go. They just put it in a pie crust and, you know, put some whipped cream on top of it. And that's just not banana cream pie. So I asked Kate to reserve me one today so I can go over and get it at their little farmer's market. If you want to avoid crowds, this is a small farmer's market. There's only maybe half a dozen vendors, something like that. Several inside with Kate in a retail space, and several outside under tents. And that's basically from 11 to 1 today. So relatively short period. She is open. Her retail is open till 5. But if you want one of these specialty desserts or one of her pot pies, you need to call and ask her to put one aside for you. So, because if you wait until you know, you get there, you know, 4 o'clock, she may be out of a lot of the things that you're looking for. So, again, Newbury Park Pastries, their farmer's market. It's the only day of the week also that she's open for retail. So it's your chance to get over there, again, before 5 o'clock. But the mini farmer's market's from 11 to 1. She has some chicken pot pies and penang, which is a vegetarian with Thai red curry. There's a shepherd's pie, veggie pot pie, and she's also doing a shrimp panang as a special one this weekend. And not only is a banana cream pie, but also lemon chess pie and pecan and strawberry rhubarb. So also some tarts, cheesecake and lemon cream. And I didn't realize, strawberry cheesecake. I didn't realize, Kate posted about a week ago, that she started out her business making cheesecake. That was all she made for, I don't know, maybe the first few years. She specialized in cheesecake. So these days she makes it occasionally, she does have it this weekend. And usually, I mean, she is known for the pot pies now, but not only cheesecake, but also desserts in general were her specialty for a long time. Been quite a few years of pot pies, but that wasn't how she started the business. So kind of interesting how she's sort of evolved her business. Again, wear a mask when you go out in public, if you're going to be near people. If you're out hiking, have your mask with you so you can put it on if you end up near people. But again, keep one in your pocket, keep one extra in your car, have it available, and it shows respect for other people. The Brighton Farmers Market will be tomorrow, as usual, 9 to 1 at the Brighton High School parking lot. And again, wear a mask. That's important to do, even to an outdoor market like that, because there are a fair number of people, lots of vendors, and some really great food. Right now, you might find garlic scapes. I posted a photo of those on Instagram for Rochester Food Net. And the garlic scapes are the flowers of garlic. So a lot of people may not realize garlic will send up a flower. And it's not particularly stunning flower. It takes away from the bulb, though. So farmers cut off the scapes now, and the bulbs will get bigger for harvest in July. And the scapes are kind of like curly green beans, long green beans, with a little flower head on them that's closed. It's a flower bud, really. It's not open. And when I first tried to cook with flower scapes, I just, or garlic scapes, I just threw them in the pan all curled up, And depending on when they were cut and the size of them, sometimes they have multiple curls to them. And I had trouble getting them to sit down in the pan to saute. And I actually ended up cutting them up into 1-inch segments, which is really kind of an ideal bite size segment, sauteing them that way. So you get the pan contact, and then you get this lovely mild garlic flavor from them. Maybe add some spinach or Swiss chard. You know, you can use them in omelets. You can use them lots of different ways once they're sauteed. Now, there are some recipes for garlic scape pesto, and I would hesitate on that. We made it 1 year, followed the recipe, and clearly whoever had this recipe, I forget who gave it to me or where I got it from, but as someone who really likes raw garlic, and our refrigerator smelled horrible from the garlic. It just permeated, and it was in a covered container, permeated the entire refrigerator. Never had the refrigerator smell like that before. And this pesto was so intensely garlicky, again, because it was raw garlic scapes that were in it, that it would never do that again. So beware of any recipes for garlic pesto, garlic scape pesto. And I would use a little bit of garlic scapes, maybe one, half of one, and a whole lot of basil or spinach. You make a pesto with just spinach. They have one at Lombardi's Gourmet Foods in Fairport that is, you can buy, Mary Lombardi makes, that's a spinach pesto, and it's fabulous. But the garlic scapes, you got to use those in very small quantities. And I think I used less than this recipe recommended, and still the raw garlic was just intense. Now, often with pesto, you'll put in a little raw garlic, but the garlic scape was just seemed more intense, or just more of it, I guess, in the end. So there was a farmer who used to be at the Brighton Farmers Market, Fred Forsberg from Honey Hill Farm, and fond memories of the garlic scapes that he would bring. And then one of our daughters at that point was maybe 4 years old or something, and he one of these garlic scapes that curls so much around her ear, and it kind of looked like some sort of cell phone adapter, and it's the bud kind of like the speaker, and she just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Fred, if you're listening, fun memories still of you coming to the Brighton Farmers Market and bringing those garlic scapes. So right now is the time to buy the garlic scapes. The farmers have just cut them, and they'll last forever in your refrigerator. I hate to admit this, but I had garlic scapes that I'd gotten in June, early June, usually, or it's a little bit later this year, and they got kind of hidden in a bottom drawer of the refrigerator, and they were in a plastic bag, but not a sealed bag, so they got some air, but were somewhat protected. And I think it was like November, and they were still fine. Couldn't believe it, really. So certainly they'll last a couple of months, in some cases many months, if you forget about them. So again, you got to keep them cold, and you don't want to seal a bag, because then might get moldy. Although garlic is a natural disinfectant to some degree, so they're tough, those garlic scapes. So you can stockpile them now, and you know, use them anytime now, and certainly July, August, September. You know, October, November is definitely pushing it, but ours survived that long. So nice to have some of those for a mild garlic flavor when they're sautéed and maybe slightly, little slight bit of char on them. They are really delicious. If you have a garlic scape that is very straight or unbendable, you don't want to use it. That's become fibrous, and as the curly flower bud starts to straighten out, it becomes very fibrous, and it'll be straight upright eventually. And at that point, you can't eat it. You got to catch it while it's still quite curly. And if part of the scape that you buy feels rigid and and very straight, you want to discard that. You don't want to. You'll know immediately when you chew on it that it's very fibrous. So fun to use, though. Again, they're kind of adorable the way they curl up. The flower bud has a long point to it, which is not the end of that is not very tasty. So I usually cut off that end of the flower bud. Maybe 1 inch of the flower bud I keep, and the rest of that I get rid of because it's actually a very thin sort of covering to the bud, and it's not tasty like the rest of the scape. So once you get some of these, you'll see what I mean. And strawberry season continues. It's up on strawberries. Freeze some for the winter just by crushing them and freezing them in a mason jar, and preserve that amazing flavor. We have our dog ate most of our strawberries, but we've had some really awesome ones from Herd Orchards, from Headwater Foods. Got some from them. Headwater Foods, which is part of Good Food Collective, is still selling retail, but you have to order, and you have to get your order in a few days in advance. Their pickups are on Saturdays at Three Heads Brewing, and on Wednesdays at Harley School. But again, you can't go over there now. They don't have random things on their trucks. They only have the orders that were placed a few days in advance. So you look up Headwater Foods. They have meat and cheese from around the region. They have lots of vegetables and fruit and things. Really quite an assortment. Headwater Foods was, and it still is, a part of the Good Food Collective that deals with institutions and restaurants and sort of wholesale buying. But obviously with a shutdown, there was a lot less of that going on. Certainly colleges were shut down, and Headwater, I think, did a lot of sales to college dining services here in our region. And so to try to use some of the product from their farmers, they set up this retail operation. Again, order in advance, 2 pickups a week, very efficiently run. You pull up next to their truck, and they put it in the trunk of your car, or the back seat, and you drive off very fast and efficient. And again, it's supporting our local farmers. Good Food Collective is the retail part of that operation with the CSAs that you can join. They may be sold out, actually, I'm not sure, but it's part of the same organization. Chris Hartman founded. And they are unique in the CSA world because Good Food Collective, and as part of Headwater Foods, deals with many different farmers. So it's kind of a CSA of mixed farmers. Usually CSAs are just one farm, and you get whatever mix of vegetables that farm has. But the Good Food Collective allows them to assemble things from many different farms and offer other forms of CSAs, which stands for Community Supported Agriculture. And this year, you should still consider growing some of your own vegetables. You'll still find some vegetable starts at local garden centers, whether it's zucchini or watermelon or some herbs like parsley. And then there's things you can sow directly in your garden. Look up fruitionseeds.com in Naples and get some suggestions and see some of the seeds that they have available. But it's not too late to grow a few of your own things. And one of the things I found with zucchini is that the later you plant them, you may miss the life cycle of the borer that goes in and chews the stem of the zucchini. And you're kind of fooling Mother Nature by planting them late. It's a really good excuse if you need an excuse. Also, Swiss chard and kale, I found some of those at area nurseries. Great time of year to put those in. They'll produce some wonderful greenery for you all the way through December, at least November, but sometimes into December. And they're colorful in the garden. The kale, you can get the Russian red, which has kind of a dark burgundy gray leaf with pretty foliage. Swiss chard has some of the bright red stems, or orange or yellow, and they're really, I think, just pretty plants to have in the garden, even if you don't end up eating them yourself. You can always give them away. We've been eating Swiss chard and Tuscan kale from our garden for, it seems like in the last 2 weeks, it's just jumped out of the ground with the warmer weather. For a long time, it was languishing at an inch or two high, and now it's like 2.5 feet tall. It's kind of amazing how fast it's grown. So if you have comments, questions, or wondering about what kinds of vegetables you might want to grow, send me a note, michael@saferlife.com. Also, some of the nurseries, like Bricolo Nursery, carry some fruit trees. And sometimes this time of the year, you actually get the fruit on the tree when you buy it and put it in your landscape somewhere. It gets a lot of sun, and then you've got basically free fruit for not usually a lot of apples, for example, on those trees, but sometimes there's a few, and it's kind of fun. Also, I saw some fig trees recently. Actually, I'm not sure which nursery. I've been to too many nurseries. I'm not sure which nursery I saw those fig trees at. That's something that you have to bring in for the winter. But Italians, in many cases, would bury them for the winter to protect the fig. They would dig a trench and bury the tree, dig it back up in the spring, which seems crazy, but again, it protects the tree from the winter cold. And you can have some of your own figs. But they will sometimes get some pests, so it's figs can be a little bit tricky. I've got lime and lemon trees, little ones, and those are a couple of the main tropical fruits that I have. And Gallia's Tropical Greenhouse and Florist has some of those. If you're looking for a tropical fruit tree, citrus, the main reason to have them are the flowers. Even if they don't produce a lot or any fruit, the flowers are so fragrant, really kind of spectacular. So that's the main reason I've got lime and lemon trees, just for the challenge of growing them, and I bring them in for the winter. Haven't tried a fig. Maybe I will at some point. And if you run into some great service out there at local restaurants, email me, michael@saverlife.com. Keep in mind, masks when you're not seated in a restaurant. And, that means wear your mask until you're sitting down, and put it on if you go to the bathroom. Put it on if you go get something from your car. Maybe even put it on when you're ordering, so that you can look at the wait staff and not be potentially sending the virus in the air. And they'll be wearing masks to protect themselves and to protect you their customers. And as much as you may not like wearing a mask, I can guarantee that someone working on their feet, working hard, wait staff or in the kitchen, I can absolutely guarantee they don't want to be wearing a mask. It is what we need to do to keep the infection rate low and to keep businesses open. A lot of patio spaces are open, outdoor dining spaces at restaurants. There's some really beautiful ones. Restaurants have gotten creative trying to create those spaces because they could open a week earlier if they had outdoor space. Some delicious food. If you're still reluctant and don't want to be out in public, don't want to dine in a restaurant, consider takeout. Restaurants are still doing that. You can still order a bottle of wine to go with that. And that's a great way to support our local independent restaurants. So maybe get a couple dishes, one to put in the freezer, or check with family and friends or neighbors, see if they would like an extra dish that you could bring home for them. So there's only one trip to the restaurant, and you've got multiple dishes and some great food. I did Instagram photo this week for Rochester Food Net that has the Black Cat Baking Company, which saw at, I've been following them on Instagram, what they're posting, but also saw their pastries at the Ugly Duck, also at Joe Bean's, but got their cinnamon roll and oat blueberry scone, and blueberry scone, I think, was vegan. The cinnamon roll was not. So they do a fair number of vegan pastries, but not only vegan pastries. And these were delicious. Really, some wonderful pastries. And I think Owl House is also selling them. I saw a rhubarb frangipane tart that looked really delicious. In fact, Black Cat Baking Company posted a photo before it was baked, and then I think it was Owl House posted a photo of the finished rhubarb tart, and really looked fabulous. So if you have some good pastries, let me know, because I'm constantly searching for those. Rochester Food Net just posted today. Chris Clemens, part of Rochester Food Net, posted the breakfast sandwiches at Rubino's review. There are a bunch of different collaborators, including me, Rochester Food Net, and you can read what each of us say about the breakfast sandwiches at Rubino's, which included pastrami as an option. They had their breakfast sandwich special, at least recently, has included pastrami. So we taste them, we rate them, discuss them, then you can go back and visit some of the reviews from other breakfast sandwiches, Vula's Greek Sweets. We also did a make-your-own breakfast sandwich review during the most stringent parts of the shutdown. Also, we've been to Village Bakery and Cafe, to Fisher Station. So a bunch of them available online at rochesterfoodnet.com. And thanks to Chris Clemens for pulling this together. He's got to send out reminders to the collaborators to get their reviews in, and it does all the math, which I probably should stop doing three decimal points in the scores that I give, but it's just started as sort of a funny joke that the accuracy of these scoring for the breakfast sandwiches, and I've just kind of kept it that way. So my apologies to Chris for the math challenges of my three decimal point scoring. But it is kind of fun to read a pretty different points of view on the sandwiches, and I won't give mine away. You can read it at rochesterfoodnet.com. Other articles there and posts, the whole halloumi, Karen Cross Smith posted that. She tends to do posts about recipes and cooking. Also, Adam posted his brother's slow and very good beef stew, sort of cooking experience with that. Depression cake from Karen Cross Smith. And there's an ice cream trail in Livingston County. Chris Clemens wrote about that back in May. And there are 16 different places in Livingston County. Actually, two of those are just outside Livingston County. And nice to include them. And so there are 16 total for you to explore. And Livingston County has set up this ice cream trail. And you can go to their website and get details, get the brochure, and you can get a check-off list of going to all 16 over the course of the summer. And by fall, October at some point, you send that in with the initials from all 16 places. You'll be in a drawing for some prizes. So that's another excuse to go and try all of these ice cream places. So if you go, let me know where you go and what you discover. There are it's a wide variety among these 16. I just missed one of them in Avon. They open later in the afternoon, and I was there. They're like 2 hours early. It's like crushing blow. But I'll be back down that way. I go down to Palmiter's Garden Nursery, which is just south of there. And this ice cream spot in Avon is not in the main downtown. It's just outside in, a former industrial building, brick building that's been renovated. It's kind of cool. But it is a little bit south of town. 2 minutes, not far. If you have some really great ice cream, and email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back 11 a.m. this morning with Discover the Finger Lakes, and tomorrow, The Grapevine here at it's no longer on the radio. We've left WYSL 1040. Their Facebook posts I found unacceptable and didn't want to be associated with them, and pulled my shows from the station. So we'll be available here online, saverlife.com. Let your friends and family know if they listen that they can find the new content each weekend on my website. It's saverlife.com. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here, and enjoy the summer weather.